I want to give you the word tonight. That's what I'm called to do, is give you the word. I want to give you the word, okay? And I want it to get in you. A lot of this you know by experience, but it's good to hear it, and then you go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's how it works. You know, that's how it works. And it just is good to go over it in the word. And there's nothing like the Word of God. It's a living Word. And I tell you, one way you know you're in the right place is whenever, whoever the preacher is, when they speak, there's something about the words they speak quicken to your spirit. It's life-giving. It just, you get something, and you know that God's talking to you, and you keep that word, and you meditate on it and you marinate on it, and it'll grow and unfold in a multitude of ways in your life. And so I trust that's why you're here tonight, because that's what he does. So once we're born again of the Spirit, how many people here have been born again of the Spirit of God? Quentin, you didn't raise your hand. That's kind of we need to talk. When that happens in your life, you begin a whole new way of living. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's the high calling of God upon your life to be a son of God. And even women are called sons of God. You understand? It's not in the spirit. There's no gender. There's no sex, no male or female. We're all called sons of God. And God's not discounting women or talking, but you're just a son of God. That's what you are. And so we're called to life in the Spirit. And we're stepping into, on Sunday mornings, as the Lord leads in Romans 8, what the manifestation of the sons of God really look like. What does this life look like? What is this Spirit-led life? What is it? How does it practically work out in my life today? Let's look at some scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17, with my notes added there with it. Let's say this out loud together. If any man be in Christ, he, his spirit, the real man in the inside, is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, let me ask you a question, and I do want a response. This is talking about a new creation. He said, he's a new creation, never existed before. What part of man is a brand new creation? Spirit. Not everything. Okay. It's good that you answer, but this is why we're here. We're here to learn. Not the outward man. Okay. My body stays the same. My mind's the same. But what changes with the new creation is the inner man, called the inner man in the Bible, called the Spirit. And so the Spirit is transformed by the Spirit of God. It's totally transformed. It's not the old made over. It's not like, well, you know, it's a caterpillar that turned into a butterfly. A caterpillar that turned into a butterfly is not a caterpillar with wings. No, it's a whole new creation. The caterpillar used to eat certain things. Now the appetite, a butterfly doesn't eat what a caterpillar eats. And a butterfly doesn't do what a caterpillar does. A caterpillar destroys everything it gets on. A butterfly pollinates and brings life to everything it comes to. So it's a total new, it's a metamorpho, it's a metamorphosis, a total change from the inside, but the change is still ongoing through the outer part. And that's what I want to talk to you about. And so the spirit man is a brand new creation, brand new. Born again of the Spirit. That's what it means. Born from above. Born of the Spirit of God. Brand new. Now, this person is what we say in church, and it's a bit Bible term, saved. Have you been saved? Saved means, it's a Greek word sozo, it means to save, it means to deliver, it means to protect, it means to heal, it means to make well, it means to make whole, and even a whole bunch more. Saved from what? Saved from death, primarily. Well, you say, well, we still die. Well, no, that's just your body. Your spirit will never die. You were saved from death, and you were saved from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death, I'm going to deal with more of this on Sunday morning, but was the law that we lived under before we were born from above. And the law of sin and death is when you sin, you are separated by, death means separation, separation from God. And they had to have sacrifices over and over again. The sacrifices didn't do away with sin. It just temporarily covered it. That's what atonement means. It's just a covering. So we've been saved in our spirit. Now, there's more to you than just your spirit. Here's something I want you to say out loud with me. With my spirit, I contact the spirit realm. Go ahead and say that. With my spirit, I contact the spirit realm. That's how you get in touch with God, because God is a spirit. God is a spirit, and that's how you contact him. Your spirit contacts God's spirit. If you didn't have a spirit, you would not be able to connect with God. Okay. Now, with my soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, I contact the intellectual or the emotional realm. With my body, I contact the physical realm. You have to have a body if you live here on earth. Okay. So the spirit and the soul are not the same thing. There are some Bible teachers and there are actually some Bibles that are translated, and they mistranslate, and they combine the word soul and spirit, and they'll use them interchangeably. They'll say, you know, the soul and the spirit's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. It's clearly not the same thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 mentions specifically spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit. That's what you are. You have a soul, and you live in a body. You're not a body. You're not a soul. You're a spirit. You're a spirit creature, creation, like God is spirit. See? And so when I asked you earlier, I said, are you saved? You thought, yes. Well, this may shock you, but some of you aren't saved. I'm not saying that you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to heaven. But some of you still aren't saved. I know you don't know what I'm saying. I said that on purpose just to get everybody to say, what's he talking about? Good, I got your attention now. But I'm going to prove and back up what I'm saying. Now, look what the Apostle James said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and wrote it in our Bible. And he wrote this to saved people. He wrote this to Christian people. He wrote this to people who are going to heaven. Look at this with me. He says to them, therefore, James 1:21, there, right up there, honey. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, or the implanted word, or the engrafted word, as some Bibles say, which is able to what? This is to Christian people. Christian people who we would say are saved, but are yet not yet saved. Note, they're saved in their spirit because they're brethren, but they're not yet saved in their soul. That's the reaction I expected to get. Because there is a difference between the spirit and the soul. When you receive Jesus, when you are born from above by the Spirit, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, He does. And He forgives all your sin. And at that moment, His Spirit comes into your spirit. And it isn't like you have your spirit and then there's the Holy Spirit. He comes in like a marriage and the two become one. One new creation that never existed before. Now you are born from above of the Spirit of God, and your spirit is recreated. The human spirit is recreated in God's image into a new creation. You were a caterpillar, now you're a butterfly. You could tell the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly, couldn't you? You can tell the difference between a human spirit that's not born again and a human spirit that is born again. One's dead to the things of God, one's alive to the things of God. Now, let me try to not confuse you, but help you. This is going to help you in understanding what God's doing in your life right now. Well, so this part is saved. Saved and sealed. In your spirit, you are holy. You are sinless. You are righteous. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's no sin. There's no blame. You are as perfect can be. You are in Christ Jesus, that phrase we use Sunday morning. And in your spirit, you are as perfect as you're holy. You're as perfect as as anyone could ever be. You're as holy as God. You're as perfect as Jesus. Just letting that sink in. But in your soul, there's some work that needs to be done. And that's what James is writing to the early Christians. Their spirit is saved, but their soul's not saved yet. Well, wait a minute. Why doesn't God just save our soul when He saves our spirit? Anybody know the answer to that? Well, yeah, that's true, free will, but I'm looking for a different answer. Think about it. Spirit, soul, two different things. When you're born again of the Spirit, you're born again by the Spirit. It's a spiritual birth. Now, your soul is not saved yet because that's your intellect, your will, your emotions. It's not saved automatically. It's not transformed automatically. You still have the same brain. You still have the same thoughts. You may still have the same habits. Now, you can say amen right there because you know good and well that's true. You know it's true from experience. You got saved, but your old habits didn't go away. Now, some people do have an incredible deliverance at that moment and never have a drug problem again, and that's wonderful. But that's rare. It doesn't happen that often. Most people know they have to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, not works in the flesh. So let me clarify. Now, look at this scripture. That's very important. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. Notice it says, how do believers get their soul saved? According to that verse. Yes, say it to me. But what about, in the implanted word. The word's called the seed. Okay? And that word is implanted in you. It's got to be implanted to save your soul. Are you with me? Implanting the word or engrafting the word to their soul, not to their spirit, but to their soul. Now, whose responsibility is that? Thank you. Thank you. How do we do that? Well, we read the word. Well, reading the word is part of it, but there's got to be more to it than that. Meditating on the word is better. Okay. Is that all? No. Next verse, verse 22, says, read it out loud with me, but so you need to read it, you need to meditate on it, so it gets inside you, and then you need to do what it says. Are you with me? This is how we get our soul saved. Now, you'll be doing this as long as you're here on planet Earth. It's called sanctification, and it is the process of renewing your mind. Okay? And so we need to hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And what that means literally is that you could be reading the scripture and you hear the Holy Spirit on the inside of you just highlight a word or a scripture to you. You've had that happen to you. And you're hearing. See, you're hearing the Spirit. You're hearing the word of God. God's talking to you through his word. So you need to hear the word. Then you need to receive that word. It's one thing to come to church. You can come to church and look like you're happy and and look like you're really interested and you're just, you're soaking it all up. But it's another thing to receive the word. See? You need to receive the word. You'll hear something and then you say, that's mine. Oh, I got that one. I got it. I own it. It's mine. It's going with me. I'm taking it home with me. I'm going to chew on it. I'm going to think on it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to hang on to that word. Are you with me? Could be one verse, could be one word, whatever. But the Spirit quickens a word to you for a reason, because you're going to need it. And it is saving your soul right now. So you hear the word, you receive the word, and it's important to learn to speak the word. Not just think the word, but speak the word out. Speak to the mountain. You've heard all about that before. And then do it. Obey what it says to do. You hear a correction in it, then correct yourself. You hear a direction in it, then direct yourself. Amen? Actually, the saving of the soul is the greatest need in the Christian church. It's the greatest need. It is. Because if a believer, listen to me, if you, Mr. Mrs. Believer, if you will not renew your mind and discipline your body for Christ's sake, then you will backslide. You'll go right back into the things you got saved out of. You will. You got saved. You don't get unsaved, but you'll backslide and go because you're not renewing your mind. You're keeping the same mindset you had before you got saved. It got you in trouble anyway. And so what this does, when you do not have your mind renewed or your body disciplined, what you do is that you keep doors open for Satan, not to possess you, but to harass you and cause you a lot of trouble. You're leaving doors open because you're not renewing your mind like God. The very first thing that God expects of someone who's born from above is to renew their mind. That's your next project. You do this for as long as you're here on planet Earth, but that's the most important thing that you can do so that your whole life becomes transformed into Christ's likeness. And you do that by renewing the mind. And if you don't renew the mind, if you just got saved and now you come to church when you want to, you know, you don't reread the Bible whenever you're here and there, whatever, then you're leaving doors open in your life for the enemy to cause you trouble. There are many, many people who in the church, no question they're saved. They're going to heaven if they die. They're saved people, even spirit-filled, maybe even speaking in tongues, but yet their soul's still not saved. Does that confuse you? It shouldn't. If you think of spirit, soul, and body, you are a spirit and your spirit is saved once you're born from above. But your soul is not yet saved because that's the part you have to take care of by renewing your mind. Are you understanding? So you're saved, but you're getting saved. Sanctification. Yes, Barbara.
You say we will be working on the soul for the rest of our lives. So is our soul ever saved then? Yeah.
No. While you're on planet Earth. While you're on planet Earth. And then it's sealed once you leave this planet. No, down here you're maturing. You're maturing, you know, and we're maturing as long as we're here on planet Earth. Will you ever reach 100%? Probably not. Not here. That'll be in glory. But you have to mature in the things of God. Otherwise, you opened yourself up to Satan, who is a deceiver, and he will get you. If you leave the doors open, he will come in. Is this helping anybody? Yeah, educated, mature, right. You mature, and you put the word into practice. It isn't just intellectual knowledge you get. You hear it and you do it, see. So
this is how it's, I have to think about it because my brain's not grasping that either, but this is how I have to think about it. If you get born again and you really sincerely receive Christ as your Savior, you're born again, but then you don't ever do anything from then on. You don't read the Word. You don't go to a church that preaches the Word. But, I mean, I think that you would have a desire to do that, but just say you just choose not to. We still have a free will, right? We can lie. People cuss, you know, and they're born again, okay? So that you can still do things that are not right. So just say you're born again, but you're not doing anything to feed your soul. Your spirit, when you're born again, is like that sealed can of jelly, let's say, that years ago they used to put wax on it, you know, to seal it so that bacteria couldn't get in it. Of course, now we have the tops and we can it and you hear it pop and it seals it. And so that thing had no bacteria, nothing can get in there. It is good for you. And that's like your spirit. When you are born again, there is like a, I just think about it like there's a seal of a wax, you know, over that. Nothing bad enters that spirit. Once it's born again, that spirit man inside of us is pure, is perfect, is born again. It is holy. But this body and our mind and our will, I mean, that is an area you wrestle with every day. You get mad and you hit your thumb with a hammer. Now, what are you going to wrestle with? I mean, be truthful. What you going to wrestle with? Saying a cuss word, right? Whacking that thumb, and then here it comes, right out of your mouth. But if we are renewing our mind daily with God's word, those things get put back. I mean, the more you study this word and it gets deep inside of you, those kind of things get pushed back. It's harder for that to come out. It's not as easy for that to come out. So that is our soul. The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And every day of our life, we're going to deal with our mind, our will, and our emotions. Every day. Every day. We have a choice to make. Are we going to follow the Word of God? Are we going to put the Word inside of us every day to where it's what's coming out instead of the other kind of things? So that's how I have to think about it when pastor's talking about saving our souls. It's a daily process of getting, you know, working on your soul, getting that thing, your tongue baptized, your it's a daily thing. So I don't know if that helped anybody, but I was sitting there mulling that over and I thought, okay, this is how I have to think of things a certain way.
That's good. That's good. But I want to give. That's good. Now I want you to get some scripture here to back up what I'm saying. Okay, it's vital that you know this. This is why when a person gets saved, Jesus comes in. He stays in your spirit. Okay, and your new spirit, your new created spirit, is now to be the dominant influence in your life from this moment on. But all your life, and if you got saved when you're 70, then 69 years of your life, you've learned to live by your five physical senses or your intellect. So this is going to be a radical change. Now I've got to learn to be led by the Spirit. I've got to change my mind. I've got to reprogram this computer here that's used to working a certain way. And now it's got to be reprogrammed. And if you don't reprogram it, you are what the Bible calls carnal. You ever hear that word? Carnal just means fleshly. You're a carnal Christian. You're a Christian. You're saved. You're going to heaven if you die. But you are more focused on the flesh and the physical senses rather than the things of the Spirit. And you're going to miss out on God's plans and destiny and callings for your life. And listen, the devil has already duped so much of the church, I'm talking about born again, the people of God, into wasting their lives on a bunch of silly things rather than seeking the kingdom first. God said that. He said, Jesus said it. Seek first the kingdom, the dominion, the rule of God in your life. That's the first priority of your life. That's your first calling. There's nothing more important than that. And yet many people just spend their lives doing, you know, chasing a dollar or a career or this and that. I'm not saying it's wrong, but you're missing your priority. Now, the very first thing that God requires of us after we're saved, we ought to go into a radical program of renewing our mind to immediately change the way we think. I think that's what the Apostle Paul did after he got saved on the Damascus Road. 3 years he went into Saudi Arabia alone and probably had some people that taught him some things, came back and met with the disciples and stuff. But there was a radical change in his life. He had to change the way he thought. He was wrong in his thinking about God. And so God had to teach him. And see, God knows that when you get saved, your mind is not in agreement with God. This is saved, but this is not right. This is used to having its own way. And if you don't do something about these two things quickly, then the devil is going to have access to your soul and to your body and going to cause you problems, and you're not going to know what's going on. The very first thing God requires of people who are born again is to change the way you think. It's called repent. Repent. It means to change. Change your way of thinking. Penthouse. Pent is like a penthouse. Re, go back to the highest form of thinking, the way that God originally designed man to be in fellowship with God, to live with God. Repent. Go back to that kind of thinking. And so God knows if you keep on thinking the way you've always thought and lived, the way you've always lived, even though now you're saved in your spirit, then you are going to open doors for the enemy to sneak in and kill, steal, and destroy from your life. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Now, what do I mean by renewing the mind? Let me get more specific for you. Let's look at some scripture. Old Testament scripture, Psalm 23, you know the part it says, He restoreth my soul. Restores my soul. That's an Old Testament now scripture. Psalm 23 is really a prophetic picture. David was looking into the future, really, of what the life that God has intended for us to have. God wants to restore the soul because the soul needs to be restored. Okay? The word restore is similar to renew, but it's not the exact same word. Another scripture, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the, come on. Who does that? You do. God doesn't do that for you. Okay. Romans 4:23, next scripture, that you would be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's calling us to do these things. Now, let me try to clarify for you. Let's say you have an antique chair and you want to restore this antique chair. After restoration, it's the same chair, but it's made to look like new. It's restored to look like its original condition. Renew means to make like new. Man's spirit is not renewed. His spirit is born again, born from above. But his mind and his will and his emotions, his mental realm, needs to be renewed or restored to God's original intent. And that's our responsibility. That's our responsibility. Practically, how do I renew my mind? Let me just give you some things that I do. No question, daily time with God and his word, that's my priority. And it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a Christian. I don't study the Bible just to get sermons. I spend time meditating on the scripture, reading the word, and listening for God to speak to me. So I do it because I need this daily. And if you don't have a daily time with God right now, you need to start immediately. Immediately. It's essential. The word is priority in my life. Word's priority. Next is prayer and much praying in tongues. Much praying in tongues. Because praying in tongues, and I don't want to get into all that right now, but is praying the perfect prayer because your mind only knows so much to pray. So when you pray in tongues, the Spirit is praying for you the perfect prayer. He knows exactly what needs to be prayed. And I can't tell you how important this is. We have learned that over the last few years, especially. It's phenomenal. You must spend time doing this. The devil will try to tell you it's a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. You must have time. Number three, meditation on like a focal point of scripture. I've got some of my scripture cards I brought in here with me. I've got right now about 5, 6 cards that just this week, different scriptures, different places I was reading, the Lord just quickened something to me. So I write them down on a little 3x5 card, and I keep them with me. And then I go back over it. I'm not trying to memorize it word by word. I'm meditating on it. I'm thinking about it. Certain words stand out to me. Then I'll turn it into a prayer or whatever. But I keep these little cards with me. I keep a focal point. That way my mind starts to drift on things that shouldn't be drifting on. I can pull it right back where it needs to be on the word, see. And then last but not least, use discretion with media, obviously. TV, there's just some programs that are just garbage, and you just don't need to let that influence you. It affects your soul. Especially scary programs that cause fear. Fear combats faith, see. I don't have time to get into all that. Now, I put down KCM at night just so you know. You may not do this, but we do. We watch Kenneth Copeland Ministries at night right before we go to bed. I think it's channel 265 on Dish. Believer's Voice of Victory Network, whatever, and it's 24 hours a day. So we listen to some preaching right before we go. We may watch a program or something that it's okay to watch before, but at the end we're listening to the Word. The Word's going in us at night. So you're renewing your mind, and there's many other things you could do here, but we have to renew our mind. That's this soul right here, and we have to discipline the body. You can't neglect the body. I'm disciplining my body. I'm disciplining it. I don't let it eat everything it wants to eat because, boy, if I did, I'd be big as this house right here. Yeah. And even just lately, I think the Lord showed me a few things. He said, you need to do this, and I'm doing them, and I notice a difference. God cares about your body. See, your body will serve you well, and you need to be in health. So you take care of it. Ask God for wisdom. How do I take care of this body so I can live out my days and fulfill my purpose? It's hard to fulfill your purpose if you're sick in your body. God will show you what you need to do. Paul said it this way. Look at these words. He said, I buffet my body, not buffet. I've done that before, and I know that's not what that means. I buffet my body. He means I train my body. Like an athlete. I buffet my body and I make it my slave. Now notice, who is I? I is Paul. Paul, he's a person. He's saying this. I, and what's my body? My body is an it. My body is not a person. It's an it. It is to serve me. See? And so he says, I make my body my slave. You serve me. I don't serve you. See, if your appetite is out of control, then you become a slave to your body. But you can change that. See, you can change that. You can change that. You can change. God will give you grace to change that. Okay? So here's the point I want to make. The real man, the real you is on the inside of what we're all looking at right now. The real me is not this. The real me is on the inside. You can't see the real me. The it is the body. Now, the man on the inside, the spirit, the inside man, has to bring his body into subjection. It will not do it on its own. It's like a wild horse. It'll get away from you real quick. And you can't do that. You are to bring your body into subjection. And God will help you do that. That'll wake you up. That's just some angels running across there. Don't pay no attention to them. No, it's the air conditioning. Now, not obeying this one scripture right here, not obeying this one scripture will open the door to the devil to cause you all kinds of problems. I'm not saying he's going to possess you, but he has access when you don't discipline your body. He has something to work with. If you don't renew your mind, he has something to work with. If you don't discipline your body, he takes advantage of test. There we go. Thank you. Your body wants to do things that are not right or good for you. Would you just be honest? That's your body. The real you inside doesn't want to do that. I mean, if it does, then you got a problem, because then you're going to be disobedient and it's just going to get you into trouble. But your body wants to do things that's not good for you. It wants to eat things that are not good for you. And the devil wants to take advantage of that part. So the devil cannot touch this. Hallelujah. He can't touch your spirit. Your spirit's sealed. Wall to wall, Holy Ghost. Jesus, right there, you and him merged together as one. You're in Christ Jesus. That's where you are. That's your position in your body. But the devil can mess with this and mess with this according to what you're doing with it. So renewing your mind and disciplining your body, your body's appetites, will provide you from a strong defense from Satan. He won't have anything to work with if you don't give it to him. And listen, and I'll talk more about this Sunday, but there's no need to cast a devil, a demon, spirit out of somebody that's not going to renew their mind and discipline their body, because he's going to come right back. I've seen it happen. Probably one of the worst things we could do is cast a demon out, and that person ain't going to make any changes in their mind, ain't going to make any changes in their body, still going to open them, and it's going to be worse for them. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? We'll talk more about that Sunday morning. We're going to get into that much deeper. And the Lord just wants you to protect yourself. He'll protect you, but he also calls you to do something, and he expects you to obey his word. He expects you to renew your mind, and he expects you to discipline your body. If you need help with that, the helper, the Holy Spirit, lives on the inside you. cry out for help. Help me. I start asking for that. Not too long ago, I saw my appetite getting out of control. And I said, Lord, I like to eat too much. And I need help because I eat all the time. And I started gaining weight. Didn't feel good. And I asked the Lord to help me with that. And he's been pointing out things like, no, you need to not eat so much. You don't need to eat late at night. You need to make your portions smaller. I mean, he just gives me a practical. He's the helper, the Holy Spirit. He's the helper. Amen. All right. I didn't hope you didn't get confused tonight, but I hope you got a piece of truth that you didn't have before. Yes, sir.
Consciousness.
Consciousness is right here in the area of the soul. Conscience is made of two words, con and science. Science means knowledge. Con means with knowledge. So conscience is with knowledge. And your conscience is right here in the area of your soul and your intellect. Okay? That's a good question. It's your mind. Okay? And that all needs to be renewed. Just learn to think like God thinks. You know, if you need a good focal point scripture, let me just give you one this week to write on a little 3x5 card and just keep it before you. And it's actually several verses, but it's Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. There it talks about your mind and talks about rejoicing. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Just write them out on a card. I wrote it out on one card. And talks about what you think on, talks about don't be anxious, and talks about the peace of God, and all those things that you should be thinking on right there. It's just a good focal point. Just keep it before you. And ask God to help you renew your mind. And he will, because he wants that done. And it's going to protect you from the enemy. Amen. All right, let's stand up and... Father, we thank you for the richness of your word. We stand amazed. Every time we read it, there's more to discover. We thank you, Father, that at the entrance of thy words brings light. Your word unfolds to us the mysteries of life. Thank you, Father, for the word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, God. Thank you for the new birth that you have given us through Jesus. Hallelujah. Where would we be today, Lord, without you in our lives? But yet, Lord, there is much for us to do. No one should be bored. No one should be without understanding we have a lot to take care of in renewing our minds and disciplining our bodies so that we can let the light of your glory shine through us. So, Father, thank you that we have been saved, those who are born from above by the Spirit. We have been saved, and we are being saved in our soul, and we will be saved ultimately in our body with a brand new resurrection body one day. Hallelujah. That's a lot to take in, but it's the truth. Thank you for it. Bless this congregation. I know they're already blessed, but may they feast and feed on your word. Meditate on it day and night and find good success for their lives. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.